heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just got back from Mexico City. Yesterday I was touring Mexico City. We're going to go on the air in Mexico City in the very near future. This is the largest metropolitan area in the Western Hemisphere, over 20 million people. I was touring Mexico City University. They have 334,000 students, and they have 34,000 faculty. They have their own internal transit system. It's one of the most amazing things to behold. Level of education, very high, 4 Nobel Prize laureates. And Mexico City is very interesting for so many reasons. Geographically, it's a mile and a half above sea level. If you think of Denver, the Mile High City, this is a mile and a half above sea level. And the area is so open for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People's hearts are open, and it is a fruitful place for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I got back this morning, I looked at the newspaper and saw an article titled, Following the Trail of a Four-Winged Jumbo Dinosaur. And this is one of several recent discoveries which supposedly suggests that flight did not originate with birds, but rather with their dinosaur ancestors. And of course, that begs the question, did dinosaurs really evolve from birds? Or put another way, can scales evolve into feathers for flight? Over the years, we have seen myriad pseudosaurs, or false links between dinosaurs and birds. And this, no doubt, is another false link. It's called Changiraptor. And if you read the newspaper articles or look it up on the web, you'll see the evolutionary story. But the question has to be asked, is it really possible for reptilian scales to become more and more like feathers until one day the perfect feather emerges? Or is that ridiculous? One of the features this week on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is going to be a special broadcast on Friday on flight, or the genius of birds. And when you watch that or hear the broadcast about it and then get the DVD so you can watch it, you will find that it stretches credulity beyond the breaking point to suggest that reptilian scales evolved into feathers until finally you had a modern flying machine or a modern bird. The meticulous engineering of feathers hardly squares with the evolutionary probabilities. You think about the central shaft of a feather, which has a series of barbs projecting from each side at right angles. And then there are rows of smaller barbules, which in turn protrude from both sides of the barbs. Tiny hooks, or barbicels, then project downward from one side of the barbules and interlock with ridges on the opposite side of adjacent barbules. And there might be as many as a million barbules cooperating to bind the barbs into a complete feather impervious to air penetration. The positioning of feathers is then controlled by a complex network of tendons that allow the feathers to open like the slats of a blind when the wing is raised. And as a result, wind resistance is greatly reduced on the upstroke, and on the downstroke, the feathers close, providing resistance for efficient flight. To attribute the fearsome flight of Chenyuraptor to an unguided, purposeless process is to fly from knowledge to anti-knowledge. Remember, scientists used to do that with Archaeopteryx, and now some great scientists like Niles Eldridge, Stephen Jay Gould, before he died, says very clearly this cannot be considered a missing link in any sense. So it's a pseudosaur. It's a false link between dinosaurs and birds. I've written about this in my book, The Creation Answer Book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But again, just forewarning, on Friday's broadcast, we're going to talk about flight or the genius of birds, and then offer flight, the genius of birds, as your as a gift when you support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. In fact, we'll send you both Flight, the Genius of Birds, as well as King of Creation, if you call 888-7000-CRI. So you can get ahead of the game, get both for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Another way of equipping you so that you know that there is a King of Creation. It is not purposeless and blind evolutionary processes, but the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Both available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. During the summer months, of course, we can really use your support. We're always finding that we fall behind during the summer months, so whatever you could do would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. When I look at Mexico City at the teeming masses, I was walking yesterday down a boulevard, and there were so many people, it was hard to even walk. And as you looked upward, you could see literally thousands and thousands of people. And I couldn't help but think each one of them is a person that is going to spend an eternity either with the King of Creation or separated from His goodness, glory, and grace for all eternity. And while we are on this earth, we have an opportunity to make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Jonathan. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri on Bot Radio. By the way, the number to dial to get your question answered live today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Jonathan, you're on.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing wonderfully well.
Wonderful. My question is about the Song of Solomon, and I have a couple of friends where I attend church who have the belief that it holds some kind of double meaning, if you will, regarding Christ and the church. And when I read it, personally, I can't draw anything out of there other than a beautiful love letter from Solomon to his bride, and I was just wondering if you could shed some light or give some added insight or maybe even your own personal opinion or however you want to answer that.
Sure. I wrote about this in my Legacy Study Bible and noted that because of its vivid portrayal of the physical and relational love between a man and a woman, some have wanted to find in the Song of Solomon an allegorical meaning whereby Israel is pictured as Yahweh's betrothed bride, or the church is the bride of Christ. And I think while the notion of Israel and the church, which is merely the a diverse extension of true Israel, probably is the best way of putting it, as the bride of Yahweh is good theology, I think there's a lack of exegetical warrant for finding this notion in the Song of Solomon. I think we should accept the song for what it is. It's a celebration. It's a frank expression of one of the greatest gifts God has given humankind, which, of course, must be responsibly enjoyed within the boundaries of marriage. Again, I've written about this in my Legacy Study Bible in one of the introductions. Be happy to send that to you. I think I lost Jonathan. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim. He's listening in Springfield, Missouri, also on Bot Radio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in what your take is on what's happening over in Israel and Palestine. You know, I'm not talking about end times prophecy and all that stuff. I'm talking about, are we getting the truth in the media about, is Palestine just really defending their own land? Is that really their land and it's been that there for thousands of years and Israel's trying to take it over? Or what's your take on all that stuff going over there?
Well, that's a complicated issue, and it's very difficult to unscramble the egg at this point. One thing that I would say about all of this is that we can't blindly follow any government. What we have to do is follow the principles of justice and righteousness and equity. And oftentimes I think that based on false theological presumptions, we do not do that. And we forget the plight of poor people or people whose land is being taken away from them. But again, you cannot unscramble the egg. And what we need to do is focus on justice, righteousness, and equity, and recognize that we are, as Christians, not pro-Palestinian, we're pro-peace, we're not pro-Jew, we're pro-justice. We also should recognize that the principles of theology point us not to a tiny strip of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea, but rather to a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And that ultimately is our mother, as Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 4. So if we're fixated on the old Jerusalem, then we have our priorities in the wrong place, because our heart should be bound to the new Jerusalem. She is free, and as Paul said, she is our mother.
Okay, thank you, Hank. And also, I think I read on one of your articles one time, maybe it was in the Christian Research Journal, about a lot of the Palestinians being Christians. Is that true?
Well, absolutely it's true. There are a lot of Palestinians that are believers, and conversely, there are a lot of Palestinians that are not believers. If you go to Israel, you'll find some believers there as well. But it's a very difficult place to share the gospel. But I think ultimately we should not be focused on a person's ethnicity, but recognize that every single person is created in the image of God, that the image of God has been marred in the fall. And as a result of that, our goal and our commission is to share the gospel. God is not a respecter of persons. It's not about whether you're Jew or Greek. It's not about whether you are slave or free. It's not about whether you're male or female. If you are found in Christ, you are a child of the King. If you are not, you are still in the land of darkness, and your ruler ultimately is still Satan. And that's a result of that. It is our, not only our prerogative, but it is our privilege to share the gospel wherever we are. You know, Peter at one time didn't want to spread the gospel to Cornelius because he had some racist tendencies at the time. And so God did something about that. He showed him a vision. And after Peter had seen the vision, then he said, "Ah, now I finally get it. God does not show favoritism, but chooses people from every nation and language that love and serve and honor him." So the issue is never, well, let me figure out what the ethnicity is of this person and have some kind of a bias against that person. No, whether the person is Jew or Palestinian, or whether they're Dutch, or whether they're Swedish, whether they're American or Mexican, we need to be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect.
All right. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. And, you know, Peter was so utterly transformed. He used the very language once reserved for national Israel and then applied to spiritual Israel. Remember what he says, "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then said Peter, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. In other words, the type and shadow of first century temples find their substance not in a tribulation temple followed by a millennial temple, but in a church built out of living stones comprised of Jews and Gentiles with Jesus Christ himself as the capstone. We are coming to a station break. Remember the number to call today to get your questions answered live, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265 at the beginning of the broadcast. I was talking about flight, the genius of birds, as well as the king of creation, both available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Just talk to our resource consultants. I'll be right back.
In his book, God's Undertaker Has Science Buried Truth, eminent scientist and mathematician John Lennox notes, God is an alternative to science as an explanation. He is not to be understood merely as a God of the gaps. On the contrary, he is the ground of all explanation, scientific or otherwise. Yet, more than merely being the ground of all explanation, or even the ground of all being, for Christians, God is the King of creation. And it is that theme that is captured in an amazing collection of meditations set to film and cherished hymns that we would love for you to have. More than just something that will bless and inspire you and your loved ones, this King of Creation DVD would likely warm hearts of hardened atheists. To receive your copy of this soul-stirring production, simply call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support our work of equipping Christians to courageously defend life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Hank will be back after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's magic apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. If you feel that continuously standing for truth occasionally takes its toll on your spiritual batteries, welcome aboard. You're not alone. For a wonderful battery charger for you and your loved ones, you need to watch King of Creation, a stunning visual celebration of God's handiwork in the world around us. To receive your copy as our thank you for your gift, visit equip.org to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The poet William Blake wrote that to see an eagle in the air is to observe a portion of genius. And this is precisely what you will see in King of Creation. As you watch it, you know without the preaching of words that God spoke, and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence, and that all that is within the created order was created by an omniscient, omnipotent God. The evidence best explained by his intelligence, which transcends the natural world. King of Creation, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And if you talk to one of our resource consultants, I'd be happy to send you Flight as well, two of the most stunning DVDs that Illustrium Media has ever produced. I have been, along with my family, riveted by these resources. Check it out. With your gift, as you talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. By the way, you can contact us on the web as well at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Next up is Parker, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Parker.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
So essentially my question, I lead worship at my church and in youth group and stuff, and I know in the Bible and in a lot of worship songs and stuff too, it mentions about how there's like power in just the name of God, or it'll say like your name is great and a lot of stuff like that. And so I guess I'm kind of just wondering what the background to that is, or like what exactly it means by that.
Well, you know, there's no power or magic in mantras, but there is power in the object of our prayers. God is to be the object of our praise, the object of our prayers. If you look, for example, at Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul begins his dissertation on spiritual warfare by saying, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And it's a great reminder that the emphasis in spiritual warfare is not on the power of Satan to pillage, but the power of God to protect. So the object of our praise, the object of our worship, is the one in whom all power resides. And therefore, if we pray in the name of the Lord according to his will, then we are accessing the power that spoke in 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars leapt into existence.
Cool. Well, that's pretty much it. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Bob next in Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
How are you doing, Hank? Thank you very much for your ministry. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, so I'm a member of a Presbyterian Church USA small congregation, and I'm a bit troubled by the recent declarations by the church governing body of allowing Presbyterian USA ministers to do same-sex weddings, as well as to divest the church assets of any company that helps provide services to Israel. Now, I know you've already talked about the Palestinian-Israeli issue, and I'm really not looking to, you know, ask your opinion on the legitimacy of those positions, because I think it's pretty clear, at least on one, that the Bible's pretty clear against presiding over same-sex marriages. The question I have is, are these of sufficient deviance from biblical doctrine to compel, you know, my leaving that church and going to another?
Yeah, well, I don't really want to, except in principle, talk about sociopolitical issues. I've already commented on that, but let me say that the hazards inherent in marriage redefinition, which is at the root of what's going on here, are singularly draconian. When you start to redefine marriage, you're opening Pandora's box, and I think that spells the death knell to civil society, because fairly applied, the logic that is being used, and this, ironically, by a church, would apply equally to any voluntary relationship that you can conceive of. So marriage redefinition erodes the rational basis for rejecting such aberrations as polygamy and incest. And the social impact on women and children is mind-boggling, and how a church can be on the vanguard of this horrible civil outrage is just beyond me.
So does that, do you believe that rises to a level of deviance from biblical orthodoxy as to calling the question whether someone should remain a member of that church?
Well, of course. I mean, if you think about the foundation of all of civil society, it is life. But on that foundation are primary building blocks, and the most principal or primary of those is marriage. And so to redefine marriage is no small thing. It is to create a fissure in something that that has dramatic implications for civil society. And as I said, it is draconian with respect to the most vulnerable among us. I mean, we have to look at the ABCs of marriage and recognize that anthropologically men and women are complementary. And both are essential in the rearing of children. Biologically, sexual reproduction requires both a man and a woman. Whenever you find a child, you'll always find a mother. And the civil reality is that children need both a mother and a father. And is marriage properly understood, bonds fathers to mothers and fathers and mothers to children. When you start tampering with that, you're tampering with the most basic of all building blocks resting on the foundation of life.
Okay, I appreciate that. A lot to think about. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You got it. And enshrining a false definition of marriage in our law, I think, is very much like flooding the economy with counterfeit money. Everything is ultimately devalued. Jay Richards on this broadcast said that rights come from our nature, and he was absolutely right. Our rights come from our nature. Our nature comes from God. And if you deny that, then you deny the basis of all other rights. So in the end, redefining marriage strikes a mortal blow to the foundation of human civilization. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Darlene, listening in Walnut Creek, California. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Hi, this is Darlene. And I wanted to ask you a question. For many years now, I've been praying the scripture word for word of Colossians 1, 9 to 12 for a my family and other and a few others. And when I do that, you know, I recite the scripture because I know it by heart, and most of the time I will say for my children, my grandchildren, my husband, myself, and then I mention some others by name. Is there anything wrong with doing that, praying that scripture for a group of people?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think there's everything right with it. And this is one of the most beautiful of all scriptural passages to have embedded in your mind. So God bless you. I hope that people listening to you right now will see that as an example for their own prayer life.
Well, I know that I didn't want to displease the Lord by being lazy and not praying it for each person, but I just didn't think I was up to doing that.
Nothing
that
lazy
way,
about what you're doing. I mean, you think about this, Darlene. How many people have taken a passage like this, and this is both beautiful and elegant, and then written that message on the tablet of their heart so that with purpose and passion and poignancy, they are able to pray that for other persons. I think it is absolutely stunning. And by the way, I love this passage as well. In Mexico City, as I was speaking yesterday, I quoted this very passage, but actually starting at verse 15, where you see who the object of this prayer is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So you think about the object of that very prayer, starting in verse 9, that you have committed to memory, and I hope it influences many people to do something very similar.
Yes. Well, there's, you know, through the years, I just felt that often, you know, just whatever little thing that I dreamt up to pray for each person often didn't really cover it as well as Paul's prayer here. And so I've just used it for years, but I've often wondered if I, not that there was anything wrong with praying it, but just in the way I was doing it. And sometimes I know that God knows whom I'm praying it for. So sometimes I might not even name everybody. But some of these, now I know he, in this scripture, he's praying it for believers. Now some of the people I pray for, they aren't believers.
Yeah, but there's no legalism here whatsoever. And what you're exemplifying is that meditation, properly understood, object-oriented meditation, is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. So this is as effective as you can possibly be, because these words are not only infused with the Spirit, but inspired by the Spirit. So to think God's thoughts after him, after you meditate upon his word and then communicate with him, not in a monologue, but a dialogue, I think is intoxicating, illuminating, insightful, and inspirational.
Well, thank you. That gives me some peace, definitely, because I, like I say, I want to keep praying it for people, but I want to pray correctly.
Well, I think you've inspired all of us. This is something that I've, for so many years, been saying on the Bible Landsman broadcast. Hide God's words in your heart so that you may not sin against him. What you want to know is his word. It becomes the foundation for counseling, for prayer, for all of the significant aspects of human existence. And there is no discipline, rightly speaking, more significant than that. And as with Darlene, it will greatly enhance your prayer life and its significance. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Men broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
Do you sometimes feel that in the fight for life and biblical truth, your fizz goes flat? Would you welcome an empowering touch from God that would put a gust of wind back in your sails? If so, you need King of Creation, a moving DVD that combines meditations with stunning photography accompanied by beloved hymns. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI
and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Apologetics is now hot stuff, but with popularity comes the danger of zeal getting ahead of knowledge and character. Christian defenders need to know the arguments of apologetics, but they must also find their moral bearings to carry the truth nobly, because both life and truth matter. Other topics include, is animal rights a biblical concern? Rethinking parenthood and the biblical foundations of the family. Sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Joyce Meyer in the 21st century. John Hagee's magic apologetics and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Between April 2014 and September 2015, 4 lunar eclipses will occur, along with a single total solar eclipse. In his book, 4 Blood Moons, Christian Zionist John Hagee argues that such stellar events have always signaled a major change in Jewish history, which will occur this time in fulfillment of Scripture. But is this approach to end-time prophecy sound? The current issue of the Christian Research Journal refutes John Hagee's magic apologetics. Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In Mexico City, I spoke for about 14 hours, and I was very convicted after I had spoken and answered questions live that I should be willing to do a whole lot more of this in the U.S. and Canada. And so I thought I would mention, even on the air, that if you want me to come and speak for your church or for your organization, let us know, and I will be making some decisions in the near future on adding to my speaking schedule. I see the value, I see the benefit, and I'm increasingly motivated to do more of it. You can just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, letter CRI, or just write in at box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or even contact us on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jeremiah, listening in Oregon, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeremiah.
Hey, Hank.
Hi.
I have a question that involves what happens when Christians die. I have heard two sides of it, and the first one is, of course, that when we die, our spirit goes straight to heaven to be with Jesus, and the second one is that when we die, we are so quote sleeping, and then on the second coming, Jesus will come and resurrect us. And I just want to know which one is true. So if you don't mind, could I have your input on it?
Well, I'd love to answer that question, Jeremiah. I mean, when you think about it, the Bible unambiguously answers the question. And what I would do is go to Luke chapter 16 first, and there you see a man who was named by Jesus Lazarus, and he dies, and the biblical text says the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom, or paradise, and he was comforted there. And that is a way of communicating that when Lazarus died, his soul continued to have conscious existence in the presence of God. He was being comforted there. And that's precisely what happens. I've mentioned Jeremiah on the broadcast. My dad, who I love very much, died in 1997. And today he is absent from the body, present with the Lord. So the Bible speaks of the body asleep in death, but the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death. If the soul did not continue in conscious awareness after the death of the body, it would have been incongruent for the Apostle Paul to desire to be away from the body in order to be at home with the Lord.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, by the way, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
Wow. You are a good communicator, Jeremiah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cindy in Alton, Illinois. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I hope your nose gets better. I'm fine, thank you.
You know, it's actually, it still feels a bit like a foreign object on my face, but it's, it is no longer have black and blue marks under my eyes or yellow skin. It's all healed up pretty well.
Well, you'll miss that color. And I enjoy your show very much, Hank.
Thank you.
I have a question. There's so many drawings and paintings of Jesus. Is there anything in the Bible that describes his physical appearance?
No, we have absolutely no idea whatsoever what Jesus Christ looked like. I mean, we could say that given the area of the world in which he was birthed, one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine, we could surmise he may have Semitic features. But the idea that people have today that they know what Jesus Christ looks like is just simply wrong. Unfortunately, there's a movie out right now, or has been out, and a book that's very popular, Heaven is for Real. And in that book, you have a three-year-old supposedly seeing Jesus Christ and knowing precisely what Jesus Christ looks, and then being able to say that Jesus has an exact earthly double, which has been painted by a child prodigy, and so we can know precisely what Jesus looks like, the color of his eyes, the color of his hair, and so forth. But that's simply wrong-headed. There's no evidence for it whatsoever. And books like Heaven is for Real in the movie, quite abominable when it comes to these kinds of things.
Well, because, you know, they have so many the statues and the paintings and drawings of him are beautiful. I mean, but there's some churches that I've seen statues that have him with dark skin, and then I've seen, you know, the blonde, blue-eyed, light-skinned Jesus. So
yeah.
I just found that was, you know, pretty interesting because, you know, because I...
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is that we don't make an idol of any of these statues. I mean, we're worshiping the living God who is resurrected from the dead, but we have no idea what Jesus Christ actually looks like. Everything is simply an artist's rendering, the idea that a person might have, but we cannot say, as Colton Burpo allegedly said, that we can now know precisely what Jesus Christ looks like, because he went to heaven, met with Jesus Christ, and has seen his earthly double on earth.
Yeah, because there's a lot of non-believers that they grab onto that and say, well, you guys got your false, you know, is this what he looks like? You know, and then they go into that about, well, maybe he didn't exist because, look, you got this photograph and this isn't really him, so...
Yeah. Well, we know he existed because we have the evidence from the Bible, and the Bible is demonstrably divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Not only that, but there's a general consensus, not only in the spiritual community, but in the secular community, that Jesus did exist as a historical being. So that's no longer up for debate in academic circles. There are some fringe people that still doubt that, but the general consensus in academia is that Jesus existed, and all the evidence, of course, points in that direction, that God is not only transcendent, but he made himself knowable. He had the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. He's the one who lived the perfect life in our place, and as the resurrected Christ, he is the earnest of our resurrection.
But don't you, just real quick, one more touch on that, and I appreciate your time, but don't you think that he would have to have a certain look so people would, you know, be drawn to him, or was that just the grace of God that made him glow? You know what I'm saying? Because he couldn't look like the creature of the Black Lagoon, and people would come up to him, you know?
If you look at Isaiah 53, although poetic language, Isaiah says he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So Messiah did not appear as royalty. But when you heard Messiah speak, for example, if you listen to the majestic Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he spoke as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. And that is what attracted people to him. It wasn't his appearance. It was the majesty of his communication.
Well, that makes sense. And I hope you have many blessings. And I love what God has done. And I am so grateful because he's pulled me out of the pit many times, and I'm finally arrived, and I learn every time I listen to you. So thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate your call. Ashley next, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
I have a question for you. I'm wondering, if God is merciful and God is forgiving, and someone gets to the point where they just can't take this life anymore and they commit suicide, how can God damn them? How can they be in eternal damnation forever? Because circumstances here are just so much where they can't take it anymore.
Well, there's nothing in the Bible that suggests that suicide is the unforgivable sin. However, a believer in their right mind should never contemplate it any more than they should contemplate murder, because suicide is the murder of oneself. And life and death are not our prerogative. They are the province and prerogative of God. And therefore, we should never try to take on a prerogative that is not ours. And we have to recognize that we are ultimately forged in the fires of difficulty. I think of my dad as he was dying. He was dying of the fibrosing of the lungs, where he couldn't assimilate oxygen. And so he was literally suffocating to death. And during some of the most agonizing times, I used to ask my dad, and he lived that way for quite a long time. And as I saw him just struggle to get air, I just said to him, Dad, wouldn't you love to go home to be with the Lord? And I still remember the twinkle in his eye, even in the agony, whereby he said, no, Hank, every moment that God gives me is valuable. And so it was, even on his deathbed. I was, by God's providence, able to get all our family to where my dad was, all the immediate family, and he was like a Jewish patriarch, blessing each one of them, and then he took that last agonizing breath and went home to be with the Lord. So every moment that God gives us on this earth is valuable, and to take life into our own hands and terminate it is something that no one in their right mind should contemplate. But certainly there are people in times of despondency that do things that they wouldn't do if, quote-unquote, in their right mind. And the Bible does not, therefore, constitute this as an unforgivable sin, but certainly nothing that anyone should ever contemplate in their right mind.
Yeah, but I know circumstances can always get worse and things can always get, bad, but when it's just constant, nonstop, over and over, and it's just like, why, what is my purpose here? Why do I keep doing this? Why
well, there is a purpose, though. There's a purpose in suffering. That's my whole point. I mean, through suffering, we are being forged into usable vessels for the Lord. I mean, you think about suffering. Think about the Apostle Paul, the beatings and the shipwreck and the insults and the very difficult circumstances of life. And he said, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ my Lord. And then he went on to say, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Jesus bore every indignity that one human being could foist upon another, and he is our example. If our Lord could do that, we should be imitators of our Lord and recognize that it is in the cauldron of affliction that we are poured out in new and better fashion. Going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. By the way, if you want to talk some more off the air, Ashley, we have people that can talk to you, so hang on. Stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. For those that want to talk to me, ask their question for the next hour, you can just dial 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be right here, same place, same station, not going to move. 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. Again, I'll be taking your calls for the next hour.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also,
Included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.